The Plowshares movement has, over the years, become somewhat legendary for its laser focus on nuclear disarmament. Originally inspired by the Catholic worker movement, the group first came to be known in the 1980s when the original Plowshares 8 trespassed onto the General Electric's property in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, a location where re-entry parts of ballistic missiles were being made. The Plowshares hammered on two of the re-entry vehicles and symbolically poured blood on documents. As a result, all eight were arrested and charged with more than 10 felony and misdemeanor counts. Since then, there have been at least 100 similar actions at nuclear arms facilities all around the globe. In April of 2018, seven activists entered the naval submarine base in Kings Bay, Georgia. The base at Kings Bay houses six nuclear submarines, each armed with 20 Trident thermonuclear missiles. The group splashed blood on a wall, hammered at a monument to nuclear war, and spray-painted an anti-war slogan on a sidewalk. Now, six of the seven activists have been sentenced to time in prison. What follows is a conversation with Martha Hennessy, one of the Kings Bay Plowshares 7. She is the granddaughter of Dorothy Day, founder of the Catholic Worker Movement. Martha spoke with me from her home in Vermont, where she is staying until her 10-month sentence begins on December 14th. Martha, thank you so much for being with us today. Could you start by briefly introducing yourself, your name, who you are, and any important information you'd like to share up top?
Martha Hennessy. I live in Perkinsville, Vermont, on a farm that I've been on since age two. I'm 65. I'm a retired occupational therapist. I've got eight grandkids. My husband of 40 years and I raise probably 75% of our own food. I also participate in the Catholic Worker Movement and also the Plowshares movement, and I am a practicing Catholic.
There's something to the absurdity of the government using its resources to prosecute the seven of you, particularly during a global pandemic. Talk a little about your experience surrounding the action, as well as now, after your sentencing.
Well, I'm grateful and relieved that the sentencing is over, and I will go into prison, which will be my next community of love. You know, the women in there are mothers and daughters, and they're suffering, and they've been abused and neglected since childhood. You know, the capitalist system has run rampant over our families, addiction, poverty, violence. All of that will be right in my face. And, yeah, when you pierce the veil of, how shall I name it, the facade that we have over our culture of, you know, we developed these nuclear bombs, and we're the only country who have used them, and we have every intention of trying to use them again physically, and we have used them every day since 1945. In many different ways, and contamination and threats to use and all of that. So once you pierce that veil, you have to expect trouble. And, you know, I like John Lewis's reference to good trouble. And I also have to say, you know, we're living in an alcoholic culture or alcoholic family. You know, we're in denial over what our condition is, our terrible state of being and unhealthiness. And I'm just the kind of person who, you know, even as a child, as a six-year-old, standing in the middle of my family, which suffered horribly from alcoholism, you know, I was the one screaming, I don't like this reality. I want to change this reality. And so, you know, I think my whole life has been preparation for a Plowshares action. I steal those words from Sister Megan Rice, who, you know, did the last action in 2012 in Oak Ridge, a Catholic nun in her 80s. You know, our lives are preparation. So, you know, the Plowshares action was just another phase of the journey for me. And, you know, up until the moment of stepping onto that base, I walked with fear and uncertainty and not sure whether I was truly what I was meant to do. But doors open, and you have to trust. You have to trust in yourself. You have to trust in God. You have to trust in your ancestors. You have to trust in the community that you're walking with. You know, the bottom line is love your neighbor as yourself. And we have a culture and a society and an economy and a government and all of these, you know, human systems, all these powers and principalities that dictate otherwise to us. So we're kind of left fumbling around in the dark sometimes. It feels like that. You know, walking into that courtroom is the last thing I want to do in my life. You know, listening to a judge who is part of those powers and principalities that are designed to, you know, uphold the so-called rule of law. You know, we did our action on the 50th anniversary of the killing of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was a prophet. He was a saint. He was an incredible leader. And he was killed by the state. It wasn't just a random assassination. And he spoke of the triplets, the evil triplets of racism, materialism, militarism. So that was our framework. You know, we are seven white, privileged Catholic people, but we tried to carry all of humanity with us. You know, the price that has been paid by black and brown bodies, literally, to build this empire. And we tried to carry that with us. You know, there's never a moment in which I doubt or second guess or regret what I have done, despite the threats and punishments that are meted out when you do put yourself up against empire. You know, I just want to mention Julian Assange. You know, the whistleblowers of our time, reality winner, Chelsea Manning. You know, let's look to them in terms of what they have sacrificed, trying to speak the truth. You know, helicopters gunning down civilians in Iraq. We need to talk about these sins and crimes. And so, you know, our effort is to tear down that veil that hides our criminality and our stupidity and our lack of mercy.
I wanted to switch gears and talk about several treaties that will be in question early next year. First is the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, which goes into effect January 22nd and will make nuclear weapons illegal according to international law. It's, of course, not the first document to ban nuclear weapons. Another agreement on the line right now is an extension of the New START Treaty, which is a freeze on all U.S. and Russian nuclear warheads. Those constitute 90% of the world's nuclear weapons. And that treaty must be negotiated by February 5th of next year and will likely be negotiated by Joe Biden's administration. Can you talk a little about the possible significance of these treaties?
Yeah, we tried to study all of that before taking our action. And, you know, we have the Pope supporting. The Vatican was one of the first to sign on to the TPNW. And we've watched over the years how the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of the Nuclear Weapons, the NPT, you know, being reviewed every 5 years, a sham exercise at the UN. Where there are many good people who are sincerely working on trying to abolish nuclear weapons. And, of course, the nine nuclear weapons states have not signed on to the TPNW. The TPNW complements and reinforces the NPT. We've had to witness this hellish administration just purposefully shooting down all of these treaties. And, you know, the New START Treaty, I believe, will be reinstated. So these treaties are definitely going to get us to where we need to go, one way or the other. And you know, they have been there. They have been there for so long. We have this 1907 Hague Convention Declaration of War forbidding the use of prisons and of... We have so much history. World War One, the use of mustard gas. We have been working. We have witnessed what can be done, what we, the horrors that we can commit on one another. And we have been working to put a stop to that. The 1928 Kellogg-Brandt Pact, all of these things are in place on paper. The question is how to get the will, the political will and the human will to really make the changes that need to be made. And make no mistake about it, the nuclear warhead was sent out of Kings Bay nearly a year ago. We don't know where it was sent, but it was a small nuke, and it's a usable nuke. And this is what the treaties need to address. Right now the U.S. is running amok and breaking all of these treaties, but I think change is coming.
We heard a lot of talk this year about peaceful versus nonviolent demonstration, especially with all of the protests against police brutality happening across the country. And obviously, the Plowshares action is being treated as violence, even though the action wasn't committed on any living beings and was, in fact, done in the service of protecting living beings. I wonder if you can talk a little about the importance of nonviolent protest.
Yeah, you know, we have this tradition handed down to us from Gandhi, from King, from Dorothy Day, from the Berrigans, from Jesus. The examples are all right there. You know, it's easy to smear us as violent criminals. You know, we try to portray those among us who stand up with a different voice as, you know, aberrants, which we are. And I did struggle with this whole question of destruction of property and secrecy, but I do feel that I have answered both of those questions the best that I can to ease my conscience. And I think Dan Berrigan addressed it very well. What is proper? What is proper to humankind? We can consider that property. Nuclear bombs held in the hands of a few people, it's not property. You know, on the other hand, I have to take responsibility. I worked, you know, in the system paying my taxes for 30 years. You know, I helped build that base in Kings Bay, Georgia. I have to take responsibility for that property. But the question of secrecy also, you know, how else are we going to get onto the base if we announce that we're going onto the base? I know that Gandhi did that. And it worked beautifully in his situation. But, you know, those bases are so secret. They're hidden in plain sight right in front of our eyes. And, you know, once again, we're in this addictive, compulsive haze of not really admitting what's right in front of us. So I was happy to pierce that secrecy in that way. You know, we cut a padlock. How does that compare to dropping a bomb on a city? You know, let's get real about the proportionality of what's being done and how. You know, destruction of property is, it's just one of those sacred cows of the Western capitalist system where we think that property is of more value than human life.
What do you think the obsession with nuclear weapons, with weaponry in general, says about our country today?
There seems to be a particular plague for white people in terms of violent domination. I don't know. I mean, we have a brand of Christianity in the United States that is so toxic and so far from the example that Jesus gave us, the gospel teaching. It's based on love. It's not based on hatred. And I think the more privileged one is, the more materially well-off one is, the more spiritually tainted one becomes.
Martha, thanks so much for taking the time to speak your truth with us and wishing you all the best.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And keep up the good work. You know, it's all about tolerance and diversity and stepping up.
You've been listening to an interview with Martha Hennessy, one of the Kings Bay Plowshares 7 activists. Find out more at kingsbayplowshares7.org. Reporting from occupied land in the Pacific Northwest, I'm Nat Moon. Thanks for listening.